Have your Bibles with you. We want to look at 2 Samuel chapter 9, and we will be reading verses 6 through 13. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 6 through 13. Amen. God has just been just so good. So good. There just aren't enough words to say about how amazing He is. Amen. He is so amazing. Praise the Lord. When you get there, say amen. All right. 2 Samuel 9, verse 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. I want to highlight that phrase right there. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. See, that phrase keeps being repeated over and over again. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwell in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, and for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both of his feet. I want to preach to you a message simply entitled, The King's Table. The King's Table. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. I just pray that the Lord touches someone's heart today. Someone will be filled with the Holy Ghost and someone's life will be transformed into the image of Christ. Let us pray today. Oh God, Lord, we just love you so much. We thank you for what all you have done, for bringing us through this week, for even having the activity of our limbs and health in our bodies. God, for even having a roof over our head. We are so grateful. We are so thankful for your mercies and for your grace, and that your mercies, they fail us not, oh God, and that your wisdom, oh God, it surpasses all understanding. And we are so thankful and grateful. And we pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that your spirit would have preeminence and free course in this house, even to rest the hearts and the minds and the ears of the listeners, that they might be, oh God, born of the kingdom of God. We bind the adversary and everything that would try to distract or detract or try and devalue the word of God that is coming forth. We even speak right now the loosening of the Holy Spirit to set the captives free, to bring liberty, to bring life, and to bring deliverance to those that are in the sound of my voice. I speak it now in the name of Jesus. I declare victory. I declare it in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, we thank you for the word that's going to come forth. We give you all praise and glory. And in Jesus' name, let the church of the living God say, Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to talk to you about our position in Christ, about our rights as sons and daughters in Christ, and about the table that Christ has prepared for us. And throughout history and culture, that the table has been a sign of social status. You even see it when you're young. When you're a kid and they have a family get-together, they always have the kiddie table that you sit at with all the other kids. And you can't necessarily sit at the adult's table. You have to sit at the kiddie table. There's always this level of status when it comes to tables. And then eventually as you get older and you go to school, then there's the lunch table. And there's always, you know, there's different groups and different sections of individuals that sit together that they kind of gravitate to each other, different groups that are similar to each other. You got the, you know, the nerdy table, you got the geek table, you got the jock table, you have all these different tables. And depending on which table you sit at, you are assigned a class, so to speak, a status amongst your population, amongst the student body. And then, you know, even with adults, although this has not necessarily been the issue as of late, but many years ago that we had the civil rights movement. And that whole movement was about position and status, particularly at the table which you sat at. That back in the 50s and the 60s, that if you were of a person of color, that you could not necessarily sit at the best tables. You had to sit at the tables that were in the back. The table that you sat at was a position of status and class. And so when we start talking about the king's table, that we're talking about a supreme class, class, a supreme status that everyone wanted to sit at the king's table because the king had the best food. The king had the best everything, the best drinks. And to sit at the king's table was a special occasion. It meant that you were someone of high esteem, of great repute, and of great social status and class and standing. We find even in Luke 14:8 that we see this idea of the table being used to show status and to show class and importance. In Luke 4:14, verse 8, it says, "When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room." That word there in the Greek is protoklesia. Sorry, I messed that up. Protoklesia, which can also be translated table. It's really talking about a table, not the word room. So whenever we see the word room there in this verse, we're really talking about a table. He says, "When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest table, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou art begin with shame to take the lowest room or the lowest table. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room or the lowest table, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shall thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee." So we see even in scripture that the table that you sat at could also be an indicator of your status. If you were a special esteemed guest, then you could sit at the best table. That the table that you sat at really showed your status, it showed your class, it showed your position and your authority, and sometimes it even could show your self-worth as a human being. When we're looking at the story of Mephibosheth, we're looking at someone who has lost everything. He has lost his status, he has lost his position as a person in society. Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, who was King David's best friend, and he was the grandson of the previous deposed king, Saul. And when his father and grandfather died, he lost everything. When Saul and Jonathan died in the battle with the Philistines, he lost everything. We see in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, that "and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and he became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth." So Mephibosheth, he was a normal little boy. He was born perfectly healthy, but when tragedy struck, one day he lost his father, he lost his grandfather, he lost his claim to the throne as the king of Israel, and he also even lost his health because as his nurse was fleeing from the death of Mephibosheth's father and grandfather, she dropped him, they fell over, and he became lame in his feet. He lost everything. And even though he technically was of royal lineage, he was of royal blood, he lived in obscurity. He lived out in the backwaters. He lived out in the sticks where no one really talked about him or really dealt with him. Because he was lame, it's quite possible that he also became a beggar. That we find throughout the scriptures that people that were incapacitated or people that were unable to work, they had to resort to begging for a living in order to survive. We see in Luke chapter 16, verse 19, when Jesus is telling the story of Lazarus, it says that there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. That this man Mephibosheth was possibly a beggar, possibly destitute. He lost his land. He lost his social standing. He lost his finances. He lost his family. He lost all of these things and was sitting in obscurity, perhaps looking at the throne that should have rightfully been his, looking at the palace and looking at King David sitting in his throne like this beggar Lazarus, hoping to maybe one day to eat the crumbs that may be at the table of this wonderful king. And in many senses that we as people, we as the human race, we also were part of a special lineage. We had a father named Adam. And Adam, unfortunately, he dropped the ball when he became infected with sin. And we lost our ability to be called once sons of God, having a claim to prestige and claim to power and position and authority and love and all these wonderful things that Adam dropped the human race and we became lame and we lost everything. We lost our ability to govern ourselves, and we could only look at God afar off as a beggar, poor and destitute, wishing just for the crumbs from the king's table. But I want to tell you today that today is the day that the king is extending his scepter and is saying, "I want to restore unto you that which was lost, that which you have was stolen from you. I want to put you back into position and feed you from that which comes from the king's table." In our scripture text in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 6, it says that now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, I will surely show kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will store thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Now Mephibosheth was in this state of destitution and obscurity for many, many years. We know this because when he lost everything, he was only 5 years old. We find out later on in this chapter that by this time Mephibosheth had a son. So he's old enough to reproduce, so he possibly was of adult age by this time. So for many years he was lame, living in obscurity, having all of his family rights being stripped of him, living like this. And then one day, the king says, I want to do good unto Jonathan's family. And he finds Mephibosheth in obscurity, and he brings Mephibosheth before the throne. And Mephibosheth is afraid, and he is scared. He is afraid because the house of Saul at one point was at war with the house of David, trying to get the kingdom back. Mephibosheth thought that perhaps David has come to finish me off. David is coming to finally get rid of me. But instead, when Mephibosheth became before the king, instead of judgment and death, he found mercy, and he found grace. He found restoration. And he found rejuvenation. Perhaps you've been living in the ghettos of life. You've been living in the gutter. You've been living destitute, completely stripped of any type of security or human rights or any type of dignity. And Jesus Christ is saying, I want you to come, Mephibosheth. I want you to come to my throne, not to judge you, not to destroy you, not to wipe you from the face of the earth, but to restore unto you your position in me, to restore unto you your position in God, and to call you my son, and to call you my child. He said, fear not, fear not. I was talking to the class next door in the Sunday school class earlier. That the very first time we see anyone being afraid in Scripture is in relation to God. That when Adam and Eve sinned, that they were terrified of God. They hid themselves because of their nakedness. That the very first fear, the most basic of human fears that everyone experienced is a fear of condemnation and a fear of judgment. Adam and Eve were not afraid of the devil. They conversated with him and they showed no fear whatsoever. But once they sinned, when God came walking in the cool of the day, they went and they hid themselves because they said that they were naked. They were afraid that God was going to condemn them, that God was going to judge them, that God could see all their inward parts and see their nakedness and see their guilt and their shame. But God is coming not to destroy you. He's coming to forgive you. He's coming to rescue you. And he's saying, I want you to eat bread at my table continually. Continually. Look at Mephibosheth views himself as 2 Samuel 9 verse 8. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? He calls himself a dead dog. Throughout Scripture, the term dog is used as an insult. It's a derogatory term. It's one of the lowest things you could say to a person was to call them a dog, because dogs would eat anything. Dogs would vomit and would eat up their own vomit. As a matter of fact, it says that in Proverbs that the dog is again returned back unto his vomit. A dog was so disgusting. They were considered filthy and unclean creatures. Not only does Mephibosheth refer to himself as a dog, he refers to himself as a dead dog, as a decaying, decrepit corpse that's rotting right there in the presence of a righteous and pious and well-dressed and rich and splendidly clothed king as David. The dog, even biblically, was to illustrate someone that had no covenant with God. That a dog was someone that had no relationship with God. A dog was considered even a Gentile. The Jews were not considered dogs. They were considered someone that had a covenant with God. They had no rights. They had no type of authority. They had no type of reasons to be entitled to any privileges of respect or esteem. And so Mephibosheth is seeing himself. He said, I am not just a dog. I'm a dead dog. I am unworthy even to be in this room. Can't you see? I've lost everything. I've lost my family. I've lost my home and my land. I've lost even my ability to walk. I can't even take care of myself. I'm a beggar, destitute, just relying on the kindness of others even to put food on my own table. What little table I have. I have a young son that I can't even work for. I've lost everything. I'm just a dead dog. I've got nothing to offer. I've got nothing to give that's of any value to society, to contribute to myself, to contribute to anything. And David says, fear not. Fear not. From this time forward, you are going to sit at my table and eat my bread and feed on the same things that the king feeds from. Matthew 15, 25 says this. Then came she. This is talking about the Syrophoenician woman. There was a woman who had a daughter that was possessed by a devil. And she comes unto Jesus and is begging Jesus to heal her daughter, to cast this devil out of her daughter. And this is where we find ourselves in the story. Matthew 15, verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. He said, it's not right that a dog should have what the children should have, the children's bread. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I want to illustrate something that's very important to you about what's at the master's table. Not just the table itself. To even sit at the table was an honor to sitting with the king, with the ruler of the nation. But what was even greater was what was actually at the table. And what was at the table was the king's bread. The king's bread. And what we find here in the scripture, that this woman was considered a dog, was considered someone that was unworthy even to have the loaf of the king's bread. And all she was asking for was the crumbs. Only the dogs get the crumbs. And one crumb from the king's table could cast out a devil that was inside of her daughter. Do you understand how powerful the king's bread is? One crumb from the king's table can feed 5,000. One crumb from the king's table can heal any disease. One crumb from the king's table can cast out any devil, can remove any sorrow, any guilt, or any shame. All she was asking for was from a crumb. But look at Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth gets to eat at the table. Not only does he get the crumbs, he gets the whole loaf. And even so, Jesus Christ is saying unto you that you've been living in abstract poverty. You've been living in destitution. And God is saying, I want you to come out of your poverty. Come out of your pig pen. Come out of your gutter and come and sit at the king's table and eat the king's bread and find healing, find restoration. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to cast you aside. I want you to come to my table and eat the king's bread. Now, here's something I want to point out to you. There's only two types of people that could really eat at the king's table. One was if you were a special guest for a special occasion, if the king invited you, let's say, to a wedding, which you find in scripture, that you could only come there as if the king invited you there as a guest. But what's even better than that is if you were a king's son. Because if you're a king's son or you're of the lineage of the king, you don't just get to come there for special occasions. You get to eat there all the time. You can come and eat at the table anytime you want and tell any servant, I want this on my plate. I want me some collard greens and some barbecued chicken, and I want me some steak, and I want me some beef, and give me some of this, and give me some stuffing, and maybe some turkey on the side with some gravy. You could ask for anything that you wanted to meet the need that you had. The servants and the special guests can only come once in a while, but a son could come anytime they wanted and eat from the king's table continually. And what God is trying to say is that I don't want you just to be a special guest that comes to my house on Sunday. I want you to feed at my table every single day. Every need that you have, I can answer with my bread and with my water. I can answer every question that you may have. The Bible says in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant. You're no longer just some second class citizen. You're no longer just a special guest that gets to visit every once in a while. But you are a son. You have a divine inheritance. You have a right to eat of the king's table and to eat of it and drink of his water and to fulfill your destiny as a child of God. We've been walking so long under our privileges. The devil has gotten you to think and to buy into your poverty. The devil has gotten you to buy into your depression or buy into having your sickness and say, this is what it's supposed to be. No, friend, if you're a child of God, if you've been born of water and of the Spirit, if you've been born again of the incorruptible seed, you have a right to eat from the king's table. You have a right to eat from the king's table. And what is at the king's table is the king's bread. And Jesus said in John 6:30, the Bible said, then they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee. What does thou work? These are Jesus' disciples trying to challenge to see whether or not he truly is the Messiah. They say, our fathers had eaten manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. One of the reasons why we never hunger, once you come to Jesus, you never hunger and you never thirst, because you can continually eat from the bread of life that is at the king's table. You can continually drink from the living water that resuscitates and resurrects the most dead of situations. You can eat from the king's table and find true contentment and find true satisfaction and find fulfillment right there with God. You know what I find to be very interesting in Scripture is that the very first mention of a table in Scripture is the table of showbread that's in the tabernacle. The very first time that a table is mentioned in the Bible is referring to the table of showbread that is in the tabernacle. The table of showbread was a special table that could only be eaten by the priests of the Most High God. And on there was unleavened bread. Special bread that was there that could only be eaten by the priests. And they called the showbread. The showbread means the bread of his presence. The bread of his presence. To eat of that bread is to partake in communion and fellowship with God, that God is ever present with you. And you know why that makes me so happy? Because the Bible says, it's very interesting, because even though the table of showbread was in the tabernacle, God is so good, he can set up a table anywhere. For the Bible says in Psalm 23, verse 5, he says that thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup, it runneth over. That God is a present help in the time of trouble. And that wherever you are, God wants to set up a table and have you eat the bread, even though enemies may surround you, even though bills are stacking up against you, even though sickness may be ravaging your body. God says, I have not abandoned you. I have not forsaken you. But if you just eat of my bread that was broken for you, for by my stripes, that you are healed. That if you just break of the bread and eat of the bread, I prepared a table before you in the presence of mine enemies. What's very interesting, what God calls this bread in Deuteronomy 16:3, I want you to see this, about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, about this particular bread that was at the king's table. Deuteronomy 16:3 says, thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith. And he calls unleavened bread something very interesting, even the bread of affliction. He calls the bread of affliction. Why would he call the bread that's at a feast the bread of affliction? In the New Testament, we understand that the bread is Christ's body. And the Bible says that surely he hath borne our griefs. Isaiah 53 verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Verse 5. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes that we are healed. That the bread that's at that table is the body of Jesus, the bread of affliction. That this bread was battered, was brutalized, was scandalized, was whipped, and was beaten so that we could experience eternal life, so that we could experience health in your body, so that you could experience joy in the midst of sorrow. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, remember that they call the bread of his presence. It says, thou wilt show me the path of life, for in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. It's at the king's table. It's at the king's table. This is what's at the king's table. The king has the best bread. Bread of life. Bread that can resurrect any dead situation. The life that is in Christ Jesus is at the table. And God has set down the table. And in the midst of your circumstance, in the midst of your tribulation, in the midst of your problems, you can sit down and eat at the king's table. Though the devil may come against you, the devil cannot touch you. For the Bible says that though he come in like a flood, the enemy may come in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him. You can eat at the king's table. I want to encourage you today. Turn with me to Numbers 14. Turn with me to Numbers 14. I want to show you something that's very interesting about the king's table and about the bread. This bread is special. Now, Numbers 14, actually Numbers 13, the 12 spies have just come back from spying out the land, the promised land. Moses has sent the 12 spies to spy out the promised land. They come back. And the Bible says that 10 of them gave an evil report. And just at hearing that report, that there were giants in the promised land, that the blessing that God had for us, that there are giants that are there. There are enemies that you have to fight and you have to confront in order to inherit the blessing of and to inherit the promise that God has for you. The Bible said that they wept. Look at Numbers 14. Look at verse 1. Numbers 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night from hearing one report. One report that said there's giants in the land. But the land flows with milk and honey. There's giants. Oh my God. Just there's giants in the land. And the Bible said they lifted up their voice and they cried and they wept all night. You got one report that said there might be some cancer in your breast. You get one report that said the bill collector said this is your last chance. You get one report and you start crying all night. Go to verse 6. Joshua and Caleb respond to this nonsense. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all that come to the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Now verse 9 is what I want you really to see. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. What? Our enemies are bread for us. Don't you understand that ceiling will become a stepping stool with God? The Bible said in Psalm 110, verse 1, that the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. That God is so bad, God has equipped you so amazingly that you're just going to consume them like they're bread, like eat them up. They're just bread for us. And you're crying and weeping all night over one report. And Joshua and Caleb got up and said, they're bread for us. And what's interesting about this is the two people that are talking in this story that say this, because Joshua is Hebrew for Yeshua, for Jesus. And it's interesting, the person that's next to Jesus or Yeshua is Caleb. You know what Caleb means in Hebrew? A dog. A dog was standing next to Jesus and saying, I have a right to inherit the promised land. Caleb was not standing by himself. He was standing next to Yeshua. And as long as Yeshua, as long as Jesus is next to me, though I'm a dog, the giants that are in my land are bread for me. Bread for me. They're bread for me. You need to get a hands and griddle spirit and just start following the crumbs that God has laid for you, because they're bread for you. And just keep eating up that bread. How am I going to get to the promised land? How am I going to find my way home? Just get that hands and griddle thing and follow the breadcrumbs, because God has left bread. He's left words, scriptures around to direct you, because thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The king's table. It's at the king's table. And even though you're a dog, even though you come from the worst family, even though your family is nothing but drug addicts and drunkards, even though you have no type of pedigree whatsoever, God has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light to eat from the king's table. And doesn't matter what the haters say, doesn't matter what the bill collectors say, doesn't matter what your aunt and your cousin, all of them say, Jesus has justified you. Who are you to speak against what God has said? Whom God justifies, he glorifies. God is calling you now to come to the king's table. Will you come to the king's table, Mephibosheth? Will you come to the king's table? Or will you hide in ashes and in poverty and obscurity? God is calling you to walk as a son of God. You are entitled to be well. For it says in 3 John verse 2, it says, Beloved, I wish with all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. That's God's will for you. The Bible says in Proverbs 10, verse 22, that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. That's what God has for you. The Bible says in Galatians 3:13 that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham, praise God, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Don't you understand? You've been riding a tricycle while God's got a Ferrari for you. You've been living way below. Way below. God's got a table spread. Come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude and turned water into wine to the hungry calleth now. Come and dine at the Master's table. Don't you understand that blessed be God, Ephesians 1:3, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings? Jesus Christ is calling you to come to the King's table. He wants to call you out of darkness. You don't have to eat scraps anymore. You don't have to feed off the crumbs anymore. God's got a loaf. I want to close this last thought. Turn me to Luke chapter 15 and look at verse 11. If you're a son, you have a right to the king's table. Unfortunately, though, there are two different types of sons that we see in Scripture. And this parable of the prodigal son shows us how a lot of us are in the body of Christ. Luke 15:11 says, And he said, A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. I want to talk about the younger son just for a minute. The younger son took for granted what his father had and wasted it. And there's so many of us that are in the body of Christ that God has provided you. God has given you gifts. God has given you abilities. He has given you talents. And we squander our efforts and we squander our energies and we waste it on the things of this world for selfish gain, ambitious gain, to please ourselves. That you see a lot of these artists that are out there, they originally started gospel. You look at Elvis Presley, who started singing gospel music, but because of the lust of this world, he gave himself over to the enemy and he squandered his life, died in his own vomit from a drug overdose. So many of us are like this son, that God has given you blessing. God has given you finances and you squander your money on bad investments, on things that God never intended you to have. You squander your time on relationships that God said you shouldn't be dating that person or living with that person or shacking up with that person. You squander your life. You're a son and you're entitled to God's blessing, but we should not squander, nor should we abuse the blessing that God has given unto us. This is what this son was. Praise God. Verse 15. I didn't have this in my notes. The Bible says they went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. He came to his senses after you've tried everything, after you've tried marijuana, after you've tried heroin and crack, after you've tried that cute boy or that cute girl, after you've tried all this stuff, eventually you realize that, man, I had so much better when I was with Jesus. Jesus, the best that ever happened to me. Sometimes you got to wake up from your pig pen and quit wallowing in the mud and the mire and eating the husks that the swine are eating. Mephibosheth, wake up and go back to daddy's house. Go back to the king's table. Go back to the king's table. This is how many people are in the body of Christ. They waste their efforts and their energies on foolish things and ambitious, selfish gain. Now we all know the story. Then he comes to his senses, he goes back home, and the father is waiting for him, sees him afar off, and he embraces him. And what's very interesting in this story is that he says, I'm not even worthy to be called your son anymore. So just hire me on as a servant. The father doesn't even answer that question. Like, just get the robe, get a ring, kill the fatted calf. Let's celebrate because my son that was dead is now alive. Because that's the first person. We got the first son that abuses God's blessing, takes it for granted, and they live as if God is not righteous or that God is not a judge and that God will not hold us accountable for our actions. That's one type of son. Then there's the other type of son. That's the elder son. Now, when the younger son who came back and wasted his life comes back home, and the elder son was out in the fields working. He heard all this dancing and singing and music, and he comes back with an attitude. This is what we see here. Luke 15, verse 28. It says, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out. He would not go into the party that they were having for the younger son and entreated him. Verse 29. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. I never left the church. I was raised in church my whole life. I never went out. I didn't cuss. I didn't drink. I didn't fornicate. I didn't all this stuff. I stayed here all this time. Yet thou never gavest me a kid, never killed the fatted calf for me, never threw a party for me, that I might make merry with my friends. This is the other son. The other son is drunk on haterade. The other son, I've been in church all my life, and suddenly this dog comes back in. You're going to celebrate that he's getting saved and all this other stuff. I've been in church all my life. I've done all this other stuff. It's that elder brother spirit. He said, you never threw me a party. Now, I think it's very interesting what the father says. Verse 30. But as soon as this thy son, the elder son is still talking, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots and whores, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Now, look what the father says. He said to him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Look, son, you could have thrown yourself a party anytime you wanted to. But you didn't. No, you sat there with your face looking like sour soup, hating on anyone else that's getting blessed, when you could have thrown your own part any time. You could have eaten from the king's table any day. And then finally when someone else starts to eat from the king's table, you know, oh, you can't have that. Got some haters in the church. Self-righteous, judgmental, holier than thou people in the church. Son finally gives their heart to God, and we throw a party, and all the people, I've been in church all my life, I didn't get no blessing. I didn't get this. Everything that God has is yours anyway. Why don't you get off your tush and start walking the blessing of God? You can eat from the king's table anytime you want. But the thing is, you won't. You won't recognize what God has provided for you instead because you're too busy pointing out the problems of everyone else. Too busy hating on sinners coming to Christ. Too busy trying to judge other people in the church. Instead of walking in your own lane and following after Christ. Which son are you? Hopefully you're neither one of them. Hopefully you're the one that's in between. Not the one that wastes God's blessings. Nor the one that judges anyone else for getting a blessing. And when we're walking the blessing of God. But you're the one that appreciates it. Father, I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. That I was a dog. I wasted my life on harlots and riotous living. I wasted my life and years I spent in squalor and in poverty and in pain and in disgrace. But yet by your grace, by the grace of God, there go I. I stand here. I am what I am by what God has done for me. Justified and forgiven. For therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, to them that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. If you're a son, you can eat from the king's table anytime. You can be healed right now anytime you want. The table has been spread. The bread of Christ's affliction is right here. It's very interesting that every time the apostles got together, that they would break bread. They'd always get together to break bread. What's very interesting, in Luke 24, when Jesus is walking with the disciples down the Emmaus Road, they didn't know who he was. He'd just been crucified and was resurrected. He said, man, it's too bad Jesus is dead. And Jesus is like, really? I'm dead? You know, they don't see it. They don't realize it's him. And Jesus is like, man, you idiots. Like, don't you know what the scripture really says about Christ? He's going to resurrect. And he talks to them all day long. And then when they get to their house, they said, why don't you come and have some food with us? And the Bible says that when Jesus took the bread and he broke the bread, suddenly their eyes were open and they realized it was Jesus. There is something about the broken bread that really shows the identity of Christ, his suffering, that the bread that was crushed, that was broken for you, that truly shows his identity, that shows his intent. Maybe they finally recognized him because as he was breaking the bread, they could see inside of the bread. They could see through the hands that were breaking the bread because there was holes in those hands that was breaking that bread. I'm trying to quit, but I'm reaching for somebody. Somebody in here, you need to eat of the bread that Jesus Christ has provided. Eat from the king's table. Eat from the king's table. I'm trying to quit. I gotta quit. You know, there's a false king's table out there too, you know. You know, in the story of Daniel, when Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken captive by the Babylonians, that the king wanted to have these men to be healthy. And he said he wanted to feed them meat, that came, the king's meat. There's a false type of bread that's out there, a false type of meat that makes you feel like everything's all right, but it's killing you. And David said, I can't walk in this. I can't have this. I want to eat from the King of Kings table. And at the end of the day, they were healthier than those that ate the false king's meat. Got to put that Burger King down. Leave that king's meat alone. Speaking of myself. It's king's meat. Are you going to eat the true bread of life? The bread that, the true manna that came down from heaven. You might be a dog. Everyone else has written you off. Everyone says you're nobody and nothing. You amount to nothing. You amount to, yeah, you're nothing. You have nothing to offer God whatsoever. But God's saying, Mephibosheth, I'm going to restore unto you the land that was once owned by your father Adam. I'm going to restore unto you the prestige as a son of God. To sit at my table and you can eat continually from the king's table. Anytime I need something, I can eat from the king's table. Let me explain something to you. I'm trying to quit. Explain something to you. People getting all on this Powerball stuff, that couple that won $1.3 billion. $1.3 billion. Don't you understand, wealth and riches is not about what you have. It's about what you have access to. In my pocket, I don't think I only got like $15 in my pocket, the cash. But I got a debit card in here. And with that debit card, I have access to all the money that's there. Don't you understand that you may not have the nicest car right now, but you have access to someone who's rich in wealth and land. Do you understand? You may not have access to, you may not have all the peace in your heart right this moment, but you have access to the Prince of Peace. You understand what I'm saying? Riches is not about what you have. It's what you got access to. So, man, how'd you get your car fixed so cheap? Well, I know a guy. How did you get that job? You don't even have a degree. Well, I know a guy. How did you get into heaven? Well, I know a guy. And that guy, he died on the cross for me, and he justified me. Don't you understand? On your resume, you can put Jesus Christ as your reference. I know him. And I know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering. I know him on a day-to-day basis. How do you know him? Because I sit every day continually eating from the king's table. I'm done. Get up, y'all. Get up. Stand up. I got to quit. I'm done. This is for somebody. Come on, Mephibosheth, quit sitting, you're lame. Now, the thing is now, when Mephibosheth came to the table, he was still lame. You come to Jesus' table, Jesus gets you up walking again. David was a type and a shadow. He didn't have the true bread that came from heaven, but we got the living word. We have the real bread of life that can resurrect any dead situation. There's so much death and destruction in this country. The predominant argument right now in Congress and in our social media is that over gun control and over the protection of life and over the killing of life. All these terrorist attacks and ISIS coming into our land. All this death. I want you to know that here is the answer. I want to counteract. I curse in the name of Jesus the spirit of death. I curse it in Jesus' name. The spirit that is robbing our sons in the streets and gangs. The spirit that's robbing our children in drive-by shootings. The spirit that's captivating our youth through drugs and through overdose. The spirit of death, I curse it in Jesus' name. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that believeth on me shall never hunger. He that cometh to me shall never thirst. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except but by me. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to kill and to steal and destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. O grave, hallelujah. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I hear the psalmist say that I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 91:16 that with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Life. The Bible says in John 7:38, he that believeth on me out of his belly, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Life is here. Again, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. This is what's at the king's table. The bread of life. The bread of life. Are you hungry? Because if you are, the Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall. They shall be filled. This is the best buffet in town. Better than Golden Corral. Better than Old Country Buffet. Colonel Sanders sold it from Jesus. He's with the finger licking good. I open these altars today. I know we've had some fun here and there, but I'm seriously though. Why don't you eat from the king's table? Why don't you come and dine? You're afraid and you're ashamed and you're scared. You think, well, Jesus can never forgive me. Jesus can never love me. He's like, I don't care about that. Don't you understand? I want to restore unto you that which was stolen. Someone dropped you when you were young. And now you're lame and you can't walk. I want to restore you. I want to restore what the cankerworm and the palmer worm and the caterpillar has eaten. The locusts have eaten. I want to restore unto you the joy of thy salvation. Uphold you with my free spirit. Come to the king's table and never, ever hunger again. God bless you.
Amen. Well, we have received some word today. Amen. I told you that there was going to be more. I said it was just the appetizer.